All right, we're going to be in Lesson 3. We are finishing up Lesson 3 of the Position class. This was my personal. This is kind of the engineer in me going crazy. Sorry. It was from Carol's comments last week about the seed, about dead seed, and I didn't have a good answer for it, and that was just one of those perplexing things to me, that when a seed dies, is that a celebratory one, or was that?
I think I have a good answer.
Okay, well, I have an answer too, so let's...
Okay, you can go first.
No. I want to hear yours first.
Okay. We all know that seeds are not plants. But plants originate in the seed, and they're totally transformed as soon as germination happens. It's no longer a seed, it's a plant.
Mm-hmm.
And all the properties almost are different. Like if you have a flour made from wheat, berry, it's one kind of bread with one set of nutrients. If you have ground sprouts, wheat sprouts that you make your bread out of, it has totally different nutrition.
Okay.
And it's made from a plant, not a seed. They're very different. Okay. When you are saved and you positionally die with Christ, that is equivalent to the seed dying. You aren't dead, but you have been transformed. You are different. You came from that before. And now you're different. It really correlates.
I'm semi-lost, but we'll go with this. Who is speaking and who is that talking about the grain? Come on. The verse is John 12, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Who's he talking about?
Himself, probably.
What?
The believers.
Himself? Believers?
Well, both. If we're crucified with Christ, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
Actually. But at that point, he may have not been talking about both.
I think in part of this, he's referring to himself, and I think it can be brought out to us too. The same analogy, okay? He states that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. First, this is speaking that unless a grain is separated, or what does separate or death mean, separation from the stalk, it will not produce fruit. Therefore, Jesus is saying that he must be separated and die to produce much fruit. One of the things I said, I doubt there was a seed biologist there questioning whether the seed had died or whether it's a dead seed or not. So they were understanding basically just what happens. If it remains on the stalk, does it produce any fruit or any wheat? No. So it's got to be separated. It's got to drop, and they think it's now not part of the living stalk. It has to fall and die into the ground, and then it produces much fruit. The analogy is that Christ had to be separated, buried, died, sacrificially, and then produced much fruit. So I think the analogy was there. I did look at actually what a seed does. I printed out and went in and looked at all sorts of what the seed is. And it's kind of interesting in that there is a seed, and most of that is the food that is sacrificially given up for the embryo part of the seed, where the new life is. So the seed gives up sacrificially itself to produce life in the seed.
It's all food for the germ.
It's food for the germ. Well, they actually call it embryonic. It's an embryonic part of the seed. I can give you the diagram if you'd like. But it was kind of cool in that really was the sacrificial part is Christ dying. The seed gives up its life, or itself, for life in the seed. I thought it was a pretty good analogy. Once you get actually down to the biology part of it. So,
which they may have not understood that.
They did, and that's what I'm saying.
But it was still true.
It was true. It sounded like last week you were questioning this analogy that Christ had given. But it's a very good analogy. Because it has to die into the ground, buried, sacrificially giving itself up, and then new life, and then you have new life out of that seed. So, I think it does hold. Even though you may not have thought it, that the dying part, the seed, doesn't die. But the seed part is sacrificially given up for the embryonic part. So, we all clear?
He could have been talking about himself. He died.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the analogy is that he is. But we also die to produce much fruit also. So, the same thing. We go through the same process. So, he was speaking about himself. But then we go through the same process. We bear much fruit by dying, separating, new life, and then we produce much fruit. The exact same thing. But I think here he was talking about himself with the analogy being applicable to believers also. So, but it was just that perplexing that it didn't die. And I wanted to go over that. I looked at all the biology, and I should probably ask you. You're the horticulturist. So, also, Miles put it this way, which I think was pretty good. In the natural realm, the first grain of and this is pretty cool too. In the natural realm, the first grain of wheat contained complete and perfect, the life of every subsequent grain to this day. It did not abide alone, retaining all, but fell into the ground and died, finding resurrection in the much fruit of the life out of death. The same principle applies in the spiritual realm. The position, the source of life of every believer as a grain of wheat is God's firstborn grain of wheat, our Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us is after his kind. We have his life. Thus we speak of our position. We refer to our place in the risen Lord. Our life is hid with Christ in God. So, it's kind of cool, the analogy. Remember we also went, I think, at the beginning of this lesson about how life produces, reproduces after its own kind. So the first grain of wheat, everything is from that one piece, one grain, everything after its kind. Same analogy. The grain, that first grain, which is Christ, is the first grain, and everything is life replicated after its own kind. We have the same life. You're confused. Everybody okay with that? Very silent today. I guess Holly isn't here then. Holly is this stimulator of questions. She knew I was teaching. That's why I want to hear her excuse next week. Good on the seed? Good. Now question 7. I want to go through that again. How is the old man put off positionally? Just a couple more things. I think we started that one and kind of briefly hit upon it. How is the old man put off positionally? That was a question.
Well, he hasn't been redeemed. He hasn't. I don't know.
Just because.
He didn't know.
Well, how is the old man, for you, put off positionally?
Well, what? He's already been put off.
You're getting there.
We're separated.
We're separated.
Crucified.
God says it's happened, and we believe it. We reckon on that fact.
It's a fact.
Right.
It's a fact.
I think that it's put off by God because we believe. We believe and because we believe.
We're getting into the how, not position. Then that's the next question you're getting to. You jump one question ahead on really the answer.
By knowing that we're baptized into his death.
We're baptized into his death. So,
and all of this is by faith.
See, now we're getting into the hows. How do you put him off? That's the next question. How's it factually? It's fact. It's a fact. We'll get into the how you put off next. But how is the old man put off? Factually, it's our identification, our co-crucifixion. That's a fact.
Questions. I thought it was seven.
Yeah, we're on seven, but it is.
Well, seven does say how.
Positionally.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get to number eight, which is how is it conditionally?
God does it because we can't do it.
Right. It's a fact. That's the first part. The next part is how we get it up. Right now we're just establishing how is it positionally, which is what position with this whole class? Something that doesn't change eternally the same. So how is the old man put off? By co-crucifixion. It's a fact. It happens. Now, we'll get to the hows in the next question, which is what you're all jumping to. So we looked at a couple of verses, which is Romans 6, 3, and we looked at 6:6, but I want to get some context, and that kind of what Alan brought up is Romans 6, 3 through 7. And it says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." Six is the fact. Three and four tell us about our baptism into the death, but knowing this fact, that our old self was crucified with him. So, positionally, that's how we get separated from the old man. Positionally, eternally, done. Okay? Separated from. We still have the old nature, remember, we still have two natures, but positionally, God only sees us in Christ right now. That's it. We have been separated from the old. In God's view, God's positional view of us right now is we're in Christ. Fact. Okay. We also looked at Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we have put off the old man. Okay. So positionally, it's been done. It's a fact. So I asked, are there any other verses you can think of that indicate that we have positionally put off the old man? Any other verses you can think of?
Six.
What?
6:6.
Well, yeah, we had the we just went through that. That's the fact. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified. Other verses. I thought of two right off the bat that I always think of in this.
Well, we always think of looking over there at you.
Now you just look.
Ephesians
4:22.
Yeah. 4:24? 4:22.
Okay.
What was that?
Ephesians 4:22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self,
yep,
which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the sea.
Yep. Putting it on the old self, the old man. Good. Any others? We're going to touch on that verse a little later, too.
Colossians 3:9.
That's one we already did. We did that. That was, yeah, since you put off the old man with his deeds. Any others? I thought of some right out. What about Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I have been crucified, separated. And now who lives in me? Christ. Okay? Another verse like that. The other one I have is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Okay? Old and new. New things have come. New in kind, new in quality, completely different than the old. Okay? So, we're in Christ. It says we're in Christ and a new creature. The old things passed away. So, it's our separation positionally. We've been placed into Christ. We're a new creature in Christ. New in kind, new in quality. Positionally, we are in Christ. Okay? Others? Other thoughts? Any others pop into your mind? Those are the two that came up with me. All right, we'll get to your question now. How is the old man put off conditionally? Is it by trying to put off the old man?
That's the reckoning part.
Reckoning.
Okay. It's by letting Christ live through us.
Yeah, so is it by our efforts?
No, it's just allowing his efforts.
Uh-huh, his efforts. So, I'm trying to see. So it's solely on him, right?
Well, we have to allow it.
Oh, how do we allow it?
Well, in this green letters, it says the meaning of justification is to pronounce righteous, but not to make righteous.
Which is question one on lesson four.
So what is imputed is not, in fact, imparted.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that. But that is not... I'm so sorry. That's
we're already there.
No, that's question four, or lesson four, question one.
Okay.
What is justification? And the difference between that. You have the answer exactly right for question one of lesson four. Hold that thought.
I will.
Yeah.
So, just a thought here. The question says, how is the old man put off conditionally? I'm not sure I believe that can be done. The question is actually a question that can be asked. So the old man doesn't apply the condition. It's a headship. It's a positional thing only. It's not a conditional thing. Whereas the sin nature, on the other hand, is a conditional thing. But we can't go on. We can't continually put off the old man conditionally. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing that happens, with the last act being faith. And it's that old man has been absolutely 100% done away with.
He positionally, yes. Conditionally, no. He is still... We have two natures. So now we're talking conditionally. The sin nature
and the new nature.
New nature.
So those are the conditional.
Those are the conditional parts.
Right.
So it's asking him conditionally, how do you put off the old man? Or how do you, you know, I guess maybe it's, you know, I guess I would look at it as walk according to the spirit or according to the flesh.
Right, but the question should probably read is, how is the sin nature put off conditionally?
Yeah. 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 And you know, the verse is actually in the New American Standard, it says the self, and in the New King James it's the man, which Mike has a lot of distinctions on that, the importance of that being man. It's a better representation of the old man. You know, self to me is more of that. It's the sin nature in you. So
thinking about like verse Romans 6:6, there's a distinction between the two. It says, knowing this, that our old self, being the old man, was crucified. So that's a finalization.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, co-crucifixion. Was crucified with him in order that our body of sin, that's the sin nature, might be done away with or made powerless, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So there's a distinction between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And the slavery to sin, even though you've been crucified with the old self, the body of sin, being the sin nature, is made powerless, but you can still choose to operate in that sin.
Right, and that's really where this is that's the conditional question here.
Right.
And it goes back to it's by faith.
Yep.
That's the answer. How do you put it off conditionally? It's by faith. You believe in what he says. all the things we've been talking about. You believe that by faith. You trust in what he says. In Ephesians 4:22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self or old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Okay, you lay aside the old self. Interesting. So, are we part of that? No? Yes? Chicken? Put your arm out sideways if you
did. Haven't we already done that?
It's interesting. This is aorist tense, middle voice, infinitive.
So, now I understand.
You can move into the class next door. That's the Greek class. They will answer that question immediately. Interesting middle voice. What is the part was the middle voice to me. What does middle voice mean?
The subject participates in the result of the action.
Exactly. I have that same
cheat sheet.
Winnie put the Winnie cheat sheet that she put together years ago. I have that.
Merriman did.
Okay. So the subject participates. So do we participate in that?
I'm so lost. In what?
In laying aside. You lay aside the old man.
We died.
Okay?
That's really two things. It's reckoning and yielding. I mean, neither of which are any of our efforts, really.
Well, the reckoning is, it's our reckoning. It's our reckoning of these truths by faith. Yeah.
Place, so.
We reckon what is fact. Mm-hmm. By what? Faith. That's the whole process. It's by faith we conditionally put off the old man, or we reckon. It's us, by faith, believing what is true of us. Do we have to acknowledge the old man? No. He's been separated. We either believe that we've been separated and reckon ourselves dead and alive unto God, or we don't. It's by what? Faith. The whole conditional part is by faith. The positional part is by fact. The conditional part is by faith. Okay? So the fact of our separation is positional. It's not going to change. I get to another question. If we believe it or not, is it still true?
We believe what?
If we believe it or not, is it still true?
Everything that's true is true whether it's believed or not.
Right. So positionally, we have been separated.
Right.
Whether we believe it or not, it's true. It is true. Once you are saved, born again, it's true. Whether you believe it or not. You know, there are millions of people who don't understand that. Again, we've talked about that. They're going to be in the nursery, I think, forever until they understand the fact of identification. I think you really need to know that to grow, because otherwise you're going to be trying to fix up the old man forever. And you go to any Christian bookstore and there's a million programs on how to fix up the old man with a lot of flowery religious tones and verses and this. But it doesn't get to the root of what is true positionally of us. Romans 6, where we have been co-crucified. And then, you know, the other ones, how do you justify? And I'm in this boat. I look in the mirror and I said, how did I bypass this for all these years? In the Brethren Church for years, and they're the guys who bring all this out. How did I read Romans 6 and not see that? How did I read Galatians 2, that I've been co-crucified and it's no longer that I live, but Christ lives in me? How do you read that and not understand or go, huh?
That's what I wonder. How did I have to wait to this age to be what?
You know
understand?
What? You know why? Because God wanted you right at that position, right at that time, to go through everything you went through. I look at that, and he allowed me to go through all these things to get to this point, this day. Am I like Job? Am I questioning why he took so long for me? I was in the brethren church for years. Do I shake my fist? Why didn't you tell me that at day one? No, he had me go through it for my growth. You know,
and I wish I could explain it to... this isn't something... Like, when my daughter was visiting, she has grown spiritually so much. But, you know, this is difficult.
How long did it take you to get to that spot?
Well, 86 and a half.
But you want it for her tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
I look in the mirror every time and I go, how long did it take me? And why did you do it? And he's building. He's the one doing it. Through the Holy Spirit convicting and convincing us. Positionally, it's true, whether they know it or not. That's what I want to say. It doesn't matter. It's true of you. Whether I believe it or not, it's true. The conditional part is where we grow. Putting off the old, putting on the new. And we'll get to some of those things that are conforming to the image and some of that, yeah.
I think I was reading it on Green Letter in relation to this question. Lyle says that the continuity of the cross in our lives produces continual freedom from the reign of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the cross and our focus and faith and believing in what... I mean, the old man was nailed to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
We still have the old nature.
Mm-hmm.
But he's given us the power not to live... Let that nature reign.
We don't have to. We've been freed from the power of sin and death. We've been freed from it.
And we believe it. We just have to believe these things because this is reality. This is fact. This is what's true.
That's the second part of this question, which is conditional. Believe it. Faith. That's the key. That's the whole answer to this question. Do you believe what's true about yourself? Okay? I had the... okay. So now the next question we'll get on so we can get through this lesson. How is the new man put on positionally?
Christ put us in the position.
It is a...
Fact.
same as the old man. The new man is the same thing. It's a fact. It's true whether we believe it or not. So, how about some verses that tell us positionally about the new man? Know any verses about the new man?
Well, look over here. First Corinthians, knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise us up also in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's...
That can be. We're raised up, new, positionally new.
Mm-hmm.
Other verses? I'll give you one. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you have been baptized spiritually into Christ, have put on Christ. We have put on Christ. Positionally. Galatians 3:27. Colossians 3:9-11. It's Colossians 3:9-11. I read from the New King James because that has the new man. Which, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Have put on the new man. Positionally, have put on the new man. Okay? We'll get to the hows. That's the next question. You're all jumping to the hows. This is just positionally, where these are facts. We have put on the new man. Galatians 2:20 that I went through. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Christ lives in me. New creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Colossians 3:3-4. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So what do all these verses tell us?
That we're in Christ, so that settles it.
Yeah. Perfect answer. Settled. That's, I love that. Perfect answer. It's settled. Any discussion? It's a settled fact. Old off, new on. Crucified, separated, placed into Christ, in him.
And new creation, like Colossians 3:10. I was just looking at that, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So it's a new creation. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about the old creation in Adam. He's talking about a brand new creature.
2 Corinthians 5:17. New creature. It's a fact. I love that. It's settled. It's done. Positionally. Done. Settled. Fact. Okay?
And it gives that rest. I have heard of this rest ever since I started in this church. And I just think, what is this rest?
Are you starting to understand it?
A little bit.
Good. Good. I think that, you know, one of the things is, and I've said this a lot, is before, I think we were talking about this the other day about some other things. Before I understood identification, there were days when I would, you know, something happened and I wonder, am I really saved? Am I really saved? And I would go back to my John 10:28, which is, you're in God's hand and you can't get out of God's hands. That's what, you know, it says that. And that was always my anchor verse. You know, if I doubted my salvation, I'd run back there. Since identification, I have never doubted my salvation, ever. Because I'm dead. I'm alive in Christ. If I'm in Christ, how can I ever get out of him? If I've been separated positionally, as God sees it, my old man's dead. And I'm in Christ, how can I ever get out? How can I ever get out of my new life, go back to the old? I can't. I've never doubted my salvation since the day I understood identification. Never. Guess what that gives me? Rest. Peace.
Yeah.
I never have to doubt it again. Never, ever. I can't. I'm an engineer. I can't go. I can't. How do you make that bridge back? I can't. There's no way to build that bridge back to the old man and lost salvation.
Well, we don't have a power to resurrect something that's dead anyway.
So exactly.
You couldn't leave and get it and live in something that's already dead. So
perfect.
You rest and.
That's what I say. Engineering. I can't build the bridge back over here. I can't go from new life somehow. De-resurrection and put myself back over here. I can't. I'm a new in Christ. And is there anything that can defeat Christ or do anything to the life of Christ? No. So if I'm in there, never a fear. Never a fear. Never a fear of loss of salvation or that, which gives me peace and rest. So I said, do you believe these verses? How does it impact you on a daily basis? Which basically puts us into question 10, which is, how is the new man put on conditionally? Some verses. We had Romans 13:14. but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Conditionally, put them on. It's done, it's a fact. How do you put them on? By faith. You believe it. Believe what he says.
Isn't putting Christ on once and seeing for
that? Yeah. Yeah. But it's believing that fact. I was building to the case of faith. He's told us that. It's a one time. We've been put into him. Now, do you believe that on a daily basis?
Yeah, it almost has to be like moment by moment.
It is.
Throughout your day, you're constantly facing a different temptation to yell at your kids or
all the time.
Whatever it is.
All the time. And it's a growth process. And we'll get to it. It's a lifetime. It's a lifetime of being conformed to his image. Grow in the grace and knowledge. All these things are growing. And so, yes, it is positionally we know we're in him. Now it's believing it. So our condition begins to match our position. As we believe that, by faith, our condition begins to go towards our position. And that's the daily reckoning of we're dead unto sin and alive unto God.
So being renewed in your mind.
And I've got those verses too, renewed. Yeah.
And when you don't, along comes this trial.
Yeah.
And he says, see?
All the time, and especially when you think you got something licked. You know, I got that truth down. You know, 6 months later, it's like,
parent.
You know, and it is you grow in the knowledge and grace. That's when you become more transformed, conformed, and those little over here become less enticing. Because you know who you are. Why am I worried? What am I doing? That's not me. I'm here.
And then comes the rest.
And then the rest and the peace and all the things he promised us. Yeah.
Could you make that sound again?
I'm curious how that's going to be on the tape, actually. So quickly go through a couple, because I want to get to one of the hungry hearts, which I think was spot on this. Ephesians 4:20-24, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So, first of all, what does it mean to put on the Lord? I said, by faith in the positional fact that our Father has placed us in his Son, we abide in him. We acknowledge our place in him. By faith, we stand in the position he has already given us. Okay? I want to get this. Yeah, we have... Shoot. There's a lot. I'm still... So how do we put on the new man? I said, I think initially it's knowing and believing by faith the identification truths. Then by knowing who we are in Christ, by intimately knowing Christ, we know who we are and we, quote, put on the new man. The putting on is being conformed to the image of Christ through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Romans 8:28 through 30. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Conformed to the image. And then, as Joanne was saying, Romans 12:12, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, the renewing of your mind, the conforming, that's the conditional part of us putting on the new man. Good with that? So, I said it must be recognized at this point that the conditional appropriation of the new man will take a lifetime. the conforming. This is a growth process. 2 Peter 3:18, which is, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a growth process. We are growing. Just like we said, if it when you first think you got something licked, and then it comes back, and it, well, maybe the fifth time or whatever, that's not who I am. Why am I enticed by this? Why am I doing this? That's not who I am. And you move on. That's the growth part. But it may take 80 years. It may take 58 years. It may take whatever. And he's growing and conforming you, transforming you. It's a process. It's a growth process. Now, I wanted to get in, and I forgot to bring it, but I have it on the Hungry Heart on, this was the 2-2, one, which I thought was spot on a couple different things. The second paragraph of it. Christian progress is not a question of attaining to some abstract standard or of pressing through to some far-off goal. It is wholly a question of seeing God's standard in God's Word. You advance spiritually by finding out what you really are in Christ, not by trying to become what you hope to be. I thought that was spot on.
Yeah, that's nice.
Spot on. I want to be the best Christian. I'm going to try it. I'm going to do all that. Oh, yeah. No, who I am in Christ. It's not by trying to be the perfect Christian. It is not. I thought that was spot on. That the goal you will never reach, however earnestly you may strive. It is when you see you are dead unto sin that you die to it daily. It is when you see you are risen that you arise. It is when you see you are a new creation in Him that you progressively grow. Seeing the accomplished fact in the Word determines the pathway to realizing of that fact. And I love this. The end is reached by seeing, not by desiring or working. The only possibility of spiritual progress lies in our discovering the truth as God sees it. The truth concerning Christ. The truth concerning ourselves in Christ. I thought there are two spot on things. You know, what we hope to be, we're going to try and strive to get to that. We're going to work and do all that. No. And the other, the only possibility of spiritual growth lies in our discovering the truth as God sees it. The truth concerning Christ. So, the end is not reached by seeing, not by desiring or working. The seeing is, and Mike's favorite, 2 Corinthians 3:18, in a mirror.
Oh, yeah.
We're being conformed from one grace and
one glory unto
the next. By what? Looking at His Word. And what are we looking at? We're looking at to know Him. We're seeing Him. And what do we do when we see Him? Who do we see? Who we are. We're in Christ. If we know Him intimately, who do we know? Us in Christ. Oh, that was a Hungry Heart for 2-2. And I just thought that was spot on about, you know, it's us desiring. How many times we desire to do it? It's like I tell you 100 times. I try memorizing verses. Oh, that's how I'm gonna, because that's what good Christians do. Those guys, those old guys at the Brethren Church who knew verses, all these verses. I got to become like them. Didn't learn a verse at all. Couldn't do it. Once I, as I attribute to Mike, read the Scripture to know Him. Guess what? All those verses come up naturally now because it's not a work. You're seeing who you are in Christ and what's true about you. Completely different motive. To know Him. That's what the Scripture tells us to do. All right. We will start with lesson 4 next week and let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this time. Again, we thank You any time to open up Your Word. We just thank You for these marvelous truths that we have, our position in Christ and what that means. And again, that is a secure position to be in, one we enjoy daily. And again, it is a moment-by-moment realization that we are dead, to reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but more importantly, to alive unto God. And we thank you for all the truths you have in your word and what peace, rest, comfort we have knowing these facts. So we just, and they're facts, not promises, facts. And we just thank you again for this time. We pray for the next meeting with Vern again, that he'll accurately bring the word and prepare our hearts to receive it. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.